Praise God, and welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. There's nothing like the sound of the shofar that you just heard. I just arrived back in the United States of America from being in Israel for 2 weeks, and I bought two small shofars. And you really have to know what you're doing when you go to blow them and blow them properly. I was standing in the marketplace with my friends that were on the tour with me, and I was trying to blow the shofar, and it just wasn't working. So a couple of my Jewish brothers and sisters came up to me and told me how to position my mouth to just get air into it, and I got a little air coming out, a little sound coming out, and I have to practice at it. But whoever was blowing that shofar that you just heard knew what they were doing, and you really have to. I didn't understand that you really have to know how to blow in it for that sound to come out of it. So we give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. We lift him up and him alone, and we thank him right now for this radio station, Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Station, that's been consecrated and dedicated to Yahshua HaMashiach, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We give him all the honor and praise tonight. And I'd just like to welcome my guest tonight that's been on for 7 weeks. It's 7 weeks tonight, ministering out of his book, God's Prophetic Timeline, Messiah's Final Warning. And tonight, he's going to present to you Revelations 13 and 17, the Antichrist Kingdom, the 10 Kings. This is week 7. And we thank you for tuning in. And I just want to take a few minutes out just to thank our listeners from all around the world. We give God praise, honor, and glory for you listening globally. We just bless God tonight. And whenever you're on demand, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepersministry, gatekeepers-ministry, and listen online to any of the broadcasts, previous broadcasts that have been on demand. So I just want to give a quick shout out to new listeners from Mongolia, praise God, Venezuela, Mexico, Kenya, London, Indonesia, Somalia, the United States of America, Philippines, Croatia, Slovakia, the Netherlands. And these are nations who God has his hand on their life. If he didn't, he wouldn't have, by his Holy Spirit, led them to tune into Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. Russia, we give a shout out to you, and Malaysia and Trinidad, Germany, Nigeria, New Zealand, Brazil, Pakistan, Canada, Ghana, Thailand, South Korea, South Africa, Dubai, Togo, United Kingdom, Vietnam, and a shout out to Switzerland, Tobago, Norway, Australia, Trinidad, and France. We just honor God tonight, and we thank you for listening in. We thank you for taking your time out to listen to any other broadcast on demand. We have quite a few listeners that listen to this broadcast on demand. They may not call in directly on the night of the broadcast to listen live, but they are streaming in to the broadcast. I looked at the statistics today, and they are pretty good. So we thank God for that, because some time ago, years ago, God said he was going to take Gatekeepers Ministry globally. And I have not intentionally reached out to other nations, but the Holy Spirit has done the work, and we lift him up. You know, God said in the book of Acts that he would add unto the church, and this is what he does. The Holy Spirit woos people in. He draws us. He draws people into where he is. That's why there's a big difference between true believers and just normal Christians, because true believers are true worshipers. So we thank God tonight for all those that are tuning in by way of streaming. Towards the end of the broadcast, we will invite you to chat or ask questions with author, teacher, Chadwick Harvey. And I'm just honored to have him on the broadcast. I just believe God that sowing into his life was a divine connection, that the Holy Spirit said, sow into his life, open up the broadcast to him for 12 weeks. And I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless you. And I thank you. I thank God for all the divine connections that he has given me around the world. My God, I was divinely connected to the ministry leader of End Time Handmaidens that led the tour in Israel for 12 days, and just honored, met new friends, just had a wonderful time. The presence of the Lord was in our midst all the time. Got baptized in the Jordan for the second time, and already I'm excited about going on another trip next year, not for 2 weeks, but maybe for 1 week. So when the price is right, God will open the door and just bless like he did this time. And I just thank him. I give him all the praise, honor, and glory. We were very safe, and we were very ministered to and blessed. So I just thank you for tuning in tonight to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. And we give God all the glory. All the glory. Careful, consciously, intentionally, give him all the glory, honor, and the praise. For he is the only one. He alone is worthy to be praised. He alone is worthy to give glory to. So we thank him tonight. We don't take it lightly. I humble myself, Lord God, before you right now. We just pray for the broadcast right now. And I ask God that you would just bless it. Cover us in the blood of your son, Jesus. Cover Chadwick in your blood. Cover the listeners in your blood. Cover me in your blood. Our households, everything that you blessed us to have, Lord, the way that we take, Lord God, you order our steps. We thank you. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we have this opportunity again to minister to your people, that you use this means of communication, Lord God, to penetrate the darkness, to beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. Lord, I thank you and I give you praise. We honor you, Lord God. We bind every weapon that's been formed against us in this station, this radio broadcast, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus in the courtroom of heaven, and we ask, God, that you stand up with us, that you stand for us, that you stand beside us, and you defend us, Lord. Hallelujah. from the accuser of the brethren. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we bless your holy, mighty name. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for drawing me closer to you, for giving me an ear to hear what your spirit has to say. Give it all to us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask for an open heaven tonight, that you would minister through your vessel, through your servant, Chadwick Harvey, that we would have an ear to hear and receive your word in our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. So, Chadwick, it's all yours. We bless God tonight. We thank you. And the mic is all yours. God bless you.
Thank you, Linda. It's great to be with you, and amen to that, what you were just saying. Thank you so much. It's great to be back. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday and rested with their family and enjoyed family time. We're continuing our journey this week on God's prophetic timeline. We've been on this seven-week journey from the 1948 prophecy on. If you're just joining us tonight, I will go through a summary of that because it will lead us into the subject matter tonight, which is Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. If you want to go ahead and mark those two chapters, we're going to be going back and forth from those two chapters as they tie in together, as we will see. Also, if you want to mark Daniel 7, we'll hit on that a little bit because it kind of leads us into Revelation 13 as well. But if you're just joining us, you can always listen to the broadcast, like Linda said, on her website or also on my website at faithfulperformance.com. All of the previous ones are on there. I would follow them in order to kind of get into the rhythm and the flow of the timeline, so to speak. In week one, we discovered what I call the 1948 prophecy. Just like Jesus was born, when he was born at his first coming, that began the timeline of his first coming events. Well, as the same, when Israel was born again in 1948, it fulfilled Isaiah 66:8. And when we read that chapter continuously from Isaiah 66:8 on forward, it speaks of, it hints on the 1967 prophecy, and then it says, when you see this, and it gives a description of Messiah's second coming, coming with the sword of the, with the sickle of the sword and also the sickle of fire, just like it states in Revelation 14 and Revelation 19. So it gives us that timeline. It gives us those benchmarks from 1948 to actually the New Jerusalem. It goes through the second coming, the millennial reign, and also it ends in Isaiah 66:24 with the New Jerusalem. So from Isaiah 66:8 to Isaiah 66:24, it gives us that timeline of 1948 until the eternal kingdom, the New Jerusalem. So what happens in between that, we have to go to the biblical prophets because we have these markers, 1948, then the New Jerusalem. Well, then we go to Psalms 102, 16, and 18, and it says, when the Lord builds up Zion, Jerusalem, he shall appear in his glory, and this is written for the generation to come. In Hebrew, that means the terminal generation. The word is acharon. Okay, so it's telling us 48, now we have the 1967 fulfillment because they conquered Jerusalem in 1967 during the Six-Day War, which most believers understand. So now we're on the 67 year, 1967. Well, after 1967, when we go to the prophet Daniel, he states that his prophecies are for the end of the age. In fact, in Daniel 12:4, it says, seal up the book until the end of the age, to the time of the end. Okay, so he tells us the book, the visions, the prophecies that Daniel had are all for the end of the age. Of course, the lion's den, Daniel's three friends in the fire are all historical, but the prophecies, the visions, the dreams are all for the end of the age. And like we just discussed, the end of the age for the second coming events started in that pivotal point of 1948, okay, and then 1967, where it basically says that the 1967 is the terminal generation. So we're on this timeline of the Almighty's, and we get to the point after 67 of Daniel's four kingdoms that he prophesied in Daniel 2 and also in Daniel 7. And during those 2 weeks, we did 1 week of Daniel 2, 1 week of Daniel 7. they are brother chapters, meaning they are the same prophecy, just with different symbolism. Daniel 2 speaks of metal components, gold, silver, bronze, and iron. And Daniel 7 speaks of four beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and then the terrible Antichrist kingdom. So they resemble each other. And then the fifth kingdom, which is Messiah's kingdom, comes at the end of both prophecies in Daniel 2 and also in Daniel 7. So he's speaking of the same prophecies. And in fact, Daniel 2 says that he has made Nebuchadnezzar know what's going to happen in the latter days in Daniel 2:28. So that is a eschatological term for the end of the age, the time of the end. And also in Daniel 2:44, it says, in the days of these kings, the Lord Almighty is going to come up and set up his kingdom on earth. Obviously, as we all know, the Messiah did not come back after Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and Alexander the Great. Okay, however, he will come back when those kingdoms come to fruition, as we're seeing today. Okay, and we discussed that as we've moved forward. So Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 are the same prophecy that talks about, in sequence, there's going to be four kingdoms to rise at the end of the age, and then the Messiah is going to come and set up his earthly reign for the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom. So that's what we discussed in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. There's four kingdoms. Then we go to Daniel 8. And Daniel 8 speaks of the second kingdom and the third kingdom, and how they're going to come to battle each other at the end of the age, so the third kingdom will start its reign during that time. We've identified these four kingdoms because it's in the text. In Daniel 2, it starts off with Babylon, the Babylon Empire. It says it literally, that it is Babylon, that he is the head of gold. He is that first king. Okay, so it starts with Babylon, and then we know from history that after that came Medo-Persia, and after that came the Grecian Empire, is what most people call it, which is kind of a mistranslation. It's really Yavan, J-A-V-A-N, and that is Turkey, Western Turkey. So the first three kingdoms in modern-day terms is Iraq, Iran, and Turkey. If we're speaking of the modern-day terms, we can't get caught up on the boundaries that are labeled today. We have to understand the boundary lines of what Daniel would have understood when he wrote the prophecy. So that's just in modern terms, we'll think of Iraq, Iran, and Turkey. However, let's not get too caught up into the boundary lines of that, because it's talking about the landmass of that time. So once we get to Daniel 8 again, it speaks of this is going to happen at the end of the age. Gabriel tells Daniel three times that this is for the end of the age, this battle that's going to occur between the second and the third kingdom. So once we identified all, and it also Daniel 8 identifies the kingdoms as the same. The second kingdom is Persia, and then the third kingdom is Greece. It literally says that in Daniel 8, 20, and 21, I believe. So you can review that. So now we have the timeline we're on from 1948 to 1967, and now we have these four kingdoms that we spoke about that was going to come to fruition. Their names are Babylon, which is Iraq, Persia, which is Iran, Grecian or Yavan, which is Turkey, and then the Antichrist kingdom will come after that. Last week, or the last time, not last week, but the week before, because of Thanksgiving, we went through the current status of the Middle East. And in my personal opinion, whenever we take the prophets literally, okay, this is for the end of the age, and if we believe that 1948, 1967 were those markers for the end of the age, then we're starting to see these four kingdoms come to fruition. Again, the first kingdom is Babylon. Well, ancient Babylon is located in Iraq. Today's Iraq is like 40 miles from Baghdad, you know, ancient Babylon. Well, Saddam Hussein, when he fell, in my personal opinion, that was the first kingdom that fell. Again, this is for the end of the age. That kingdom fell. Well, now look who's in the superpower position now. You can ask anyone, military leader, presidents, whomever, and I believe anyone in the world who keeps up with the geopolitical scenario in the Middle East will say that Iran, Medo-Persia, is the dominant superpower over there. They are swept across the Middle East, just like Daniel 8:4 has said. They're going to go westward, northward, and southward. Since Iraq has fallen, they have swept into Iraq. They control Iraq. They control Lebanon, which is Hezbollah, is the terror group there that they control. They control Hamas, which is on the Gaza Strip. They have invaded Yemen and are causing trouble down on the border with Saudi Arabia, and they're into Syria now. So they're trying to create a Shia crescent, if you will, which is a section of Islam. Okay, there's two major sects of Islam, which is Sunni and Shia. Iran is Shia, and they're trying to create a crescent, so to speak, a dominant Shia Middle East over there, just like the prophet Daniel said they would at the end of the age, Daniel 8:4. I tell people all the time, and it's very important, that Daniel 8 is the prophecy that we're really witnessing right now, because it gives us the exact details of how this is all going to go down. It's totally amazing. You know, when we read Daniel 8, we look at the Middle East, and we have seen Iraq have falling, then we see Iran doing exactly what Daniel 8:4 says. I mean, it's totally incredible. So with the fulfillment of Daniel 8, let's remember, it also fulfills Daniel 7 and also Daniel 2, because it talks about the four kingdoms and the succession of them. So once Iran gets to their prophetic calling, they become great and they reach their pinnacle, then Turkey will rise to power, just like Daniel 8 says. Just like we discussed in our last broadcast, we are starting to see the goat, which is Turkey, in Daniel 8 rise to power with President Tayyip Recep Erdogan, okay? And he is coming, if you don't know much about this character, Turkey was a secular nation for a long time, a moderate Muslim nation, you know, very secular after the Ottoman Empire was conquered in 1923, and we're going to get into that as well, because these prophecies of Revelation 13 and 17 hit on that as well. So anyhow, they became moderate, they became secular, they became, I mean, in fact, they're a NATO member with America and everything else. That's how moderate they are. But however, in 2001, Recep Tayyip Erdogan came to power with the AKP party. And since that time, he has transitioned them into that old tyrannical dictatorship. And if you kept up with the geopolitical in Turkey, the last two or three years, he has become basically a dictator. Anyone who keeps up with it, I think, would agree with that. He's basically has sweeping powers in Turkey with some referendums he's done. He's basically staged a Turkey coup, you know, to give him more power so he can clamp down on the people. And he's basically a sultan. He's basically a dictator again. So we're seeing this gentleman rise to power, just like the prophet said, the large horn, the first king. He's rising to power, and at the prophetic calling, he will dominate Iran, just like Daniel 8 said, because, again, Turkey is Sunni. Remember, it's a Sunni and Shia collision that we're facing. Iran is Shia, Turkey is Sunni with Saudi Arabia, and you're going to see those two really clash here whenever the prophetic calling is. So that's kind of where we are, what we discussed last week, and we've kind of been on this timeline up to date of today. Like, where are we today? And in my personal opinion, I believe we're right in the middle of Daniel 8, of the Ram, which is Iran, Persia, becoming great, sweeping across the Middle East, north, south, west, sweeping into countries, controlling countries, financing terror. I mean, it is a mess over there, and it's all because, mainly because of Iran and Saudi Arabia, but that's another story. But right now it's Iran who's causing all of the terror, sweeping across, becoming great, just like Daniel 8:4 says. So that's where we are today. We're starting to see the Grecian Empire, which is, again, Turkey, rise to power. And now from this point forward, we're going to speak of kind of things that are going to happen in the future. Okay, we're going from the past, from 48 to 67 to today. Now we're going to hit in the future. For the remaining of the weeks, we'll continue to go into the future and speak of the Antichrist kingdom. We'll define who the great harlot is in Revelation 17. We'll hit on that a little bit tonight, but not much, because that's for next week. And then we'll speak of the second coming, millennial reign, New Jerusalem, and so forth and so on. So right now, if we're up to date where we are, again, you can listen to those podcasts on my website or Linda's website to catch you up to speed with all the details of the prophecies. But that's just the summary of it. But tonight we'll hit some of the past of Daniel 7 and also Revelation 13 and Revelation 17 as they all tie in together, because we have hit on the Antichrist kingdom before with the 10 kings, but this is going to validate it. This is going to make a lot of sense once we get through Revelation 17, exactly who the players are, who the 10 kings are, what region they're coming from, and then we'll hit on the harlot a little bit, because the Antichrist kingdom and the harlot are together as an entity at first, and then we'll see what happens at the end of the age. So without further ado, let's turn to Revelation 13, and we'll begin, just like we always do, we'll read the prophecy of Revelation 13, we'll break it down, and then we'll go back and we'll tie it into what we've discussed in the previous weeks. So in Revelation 13, 1, this is the Apostle John. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast, which means one beast, rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet was like a bear, and his mouth like a lion. The dragon gave him his power, which is Satan, his throne and great authority. And this is very important. And I saw one of his heads as if it has been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years, which is the last 3.5 years of the age. Then he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, except for those who have been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Okay, so this is a mindful. We're going to break this down. When we look at Revelation 13, it is contingent upon us understanding Daniel 7. Okay, the prerequisite is to understand Daniel 7 in general to understand Revelation 13. Why is that? Well, once we read the prophecy, it says, I saw a beast, which is one beast, rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. If you've listened or if you've been with us on this timeline, this should ring a bell with you. We saw another beast that had seven heads and ten horns, and that is in Daniel 7. If you turn with me to Daniel 7, verse 23, we'll go from there. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it into pieces. The ten horns are ten kings. So here we go. We see a match here. You know, the match is it's the same beast. Daniel 7's beast has ten horns and also seven heads, and then also, I'm sorry, no heads, but has ten horns, and then Revelation 13 has ten horns. Okay, so we have a match. It's the same beast that we're talking about. Daniel 7's fourth beast is the same as Revelation 13's one beast. Okay, so let's continue. In Revelation 13, 2, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet was like a bear, and the mouth like a lion. See, it's contingent upon us understanding Daniel 7's fourth beast because guess what? Or Daniel 7's beast because guess what? The first three beasts are a lion, a bear, and a leopard. So what John is telling us is this. He's saying, hey, the Antichrist kingdom, the beast, is going to be a conglomerate of the lion, the leopard, and the bear. He only mentioned those three animals, those three beasts he mentioned as the Antichrist kingdom. There's not four, there's not five, there's only three. Okay, so whenever we go back to Daniel 7, just like we've discovered in previous weeks, who are the three beasts? Well, the lion is Babylon, Iraq, the bear is Persia or Iran, and Greece or Yvonne is the leopard. So with us understanding Daniel 7, the four beasts there, we have to go to Revelation 13, and all we have to do is just plug in the names, okay? And that's what we really have to understand when we look at prophecy is this, is a lot of people, including I used to do this myself when I was younger, is I would go straight to Revelation to try to understand the end of the age. And I'm sure we've all been there. However, if we go to the biblical prophets first and understand the literal names that Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and all of the prophets are talking about, all we have to do is just plug them in the allegory in Revelation, if that makes sense. Once we know the literal names, then all this symbolism, it makes sense because we can identify who they are, kind of like the lion, the leopard, and the bear. So I hope that makes sense with us understanding. I get in these debates all the time with people, and they might, most people might disagree with a little bit of Daniel 7, but most people, most scholars, most prophecy teachers agree that the first three beasts are Babylon, Persia, and Greece, or Turkey. So whenever they admit that, I'm like, well, you just mentioned the Antichrist kingdom, because a lot of people still believe it's Rome, okay, and we've discovered in previous weeks that it's not the case, for sure, and we'll prove that again this evening with Revelation 17. But when you know the four beasts in Daniel 7, then all we have to do is go to Revelation 13. So whenever we get into a friendly debate, if you will, and they say, okay, well, I believe it's Babylon, Persia, and Greece, then you can say, well, you just mentioned the Antichrist kingdom because Revelation 13 says that it was a lion, a leopard, and a bear. So that kind of foils the argument, if you will. So I hope that makes sense, is we know who the Antichrist kingdom is because guess what? Daniel has told us it's a lion, a bear, a leopard, those three. And those three are modern-day Iraq, Iran, and Turkey. But do not pay attention to the boundary lines of today. We have to go back to the Babylonian Empire map, also the Persian map, Medo-Persian map, and also the Grecian Empire map to understand the boundaries. And basically it's the Middle East and the three countries in North Africa, okay, which is Egypt, Sudan, and Libya. So I hope that makes sense. We'll continue now in verse 2. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. So obviously Satan influences the Antichrist, the beast kingdom, if you will. And this is very important as we go forward because the seven heads, remember there were seven heads that are kingdoms, okay, that are kingdoms, and we'll discover that. And what does it say about the one of the heads in verse 3? And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. So what does this tell us? And we'll find out this more. Well, it was what this means is there's going to be a kingdom who rises to power, who's going to fall, and then it's going to come back again. Okay, his deadly wound was healed. You know, some people believe that the Antichrist is going to have a mortal wound to his head, then he's going to resurrect himself and things like that. I don't believe that personally because it says that the heads are kings, okay, and they're mountains, they say. Well, kings rule kingdoms, not mountains. Mountains are symbolic, okay, for kingdoms, and we'll go through these seven heads, these seven kingdoms as we continue in Revelation 17. But that's very important because we're going to hit on that again, and it's going to really click for us once we get there of what he's talking about and who this kingdom that was wounded, but now they're coming back, and I believe we're starting to see that right now. Okay, so as we continue, verse 3, and all the world marveled and followed the beast, so they worshiped the dragon and gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Basically, there's going to be a tremendous amount of deception going on, and they're going to follow the Antichrist kingdom, the beast, because of all the miraculous works and things like that. In verse 5, you know, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months or 3.5 years. Yes, the Antichrist will rise to power, and he will come in the name of peace for the first 3.5 years of his reign, during the 7 years, and then the last 3.5, it will become a covenant of death. Just like Isaiah 28 says, the Lord will allow him to come against the saints and the holy people, the chosen ones, just like it says in verse 7. You can tie that into Daniel 8, 24 and 25. Also, Daniel 7, 25 confirms that he will be able to war against the saints and come against the saints during that time. And basically everybody will worship him except who is written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. So that is really Revelation 13. The main points out of Revelation 13, it continues into the false prophet, okay, but that kind of gets kind of confusing. So I want to stick on this first part. We can do the false prophet some other time. And there's not a lot to go on the false prophet except for this the section that we're skipping over tonight. And it basically confirms that there's going to be another beast, which is the false prophet that's going to, you know, make everybody worship the beast. No one can buy or sell. He's going to do miraculous works and things like that. The subject matter for tonight, you know, kind of gets off pace with that. So we'll just stick with this first part of Revelation 13. And the basic points of this is this. There's going to be a beast, which is one beast, that rises to power who has 10 horns and 7 heads. The 10 horns are the 10 kings. Horns are kings, just like we've discovered in previous weeks. I think it's defined in Daniel 8, 19, somewhere in there, that horns are kings. And also, so the 10 kings the 10 horns are 10 kings, and then the 7 heads will be 7 kingdoms throughout history that have occurred, and we will begin to identify those here in a minute in Revelation 17. And then you have the beast is the same beast as Daniel 7's fourth beast because of the 10 horns that matches perfectly, and then it's going to be a conglomerate of those first three beasts in Daniel 7, the lion, the bear, the leopard. Okay, so I hope that makes sense. That's the major things, and we just have to keep in mind that one of those heads are going to be wounded, okay, and but it's going to come back again. It's going to be healed, as the prophet tells us. So I hope that kind of puts us where we're good with the Antichrist kingdom. It's going to be 10 kings. They're going to be in that conglomerate area of the bear, the lion, the leopard, which is Iraq, Iran, and Turkey. Daniel tells us who three of the kings are in Daniel 11, 40 through 45. It tells us Egypt, Libya. It says Ethiopia, but it's actually Sudan because that is Cush. Okay, so it's Egypt, Libya, and Sudan. That's three of the 10 kings, and they fall. If you look at a map, an ancient map, those three kingdoms fall in the conglomerate land area of the ancient Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Grecian empires. Okay, so that tells you right there, there's three of them. And then what do we read in Daniel 8? Four of the kings will occur whenever Turkey rises to power, and then they break into four regions. Four horns is what it calls it. Well, horns are kings. So whenever, however Turkey breaks into those four regions, most people believe that it's going to be the same as Alexander's the Great Empire was, as a prophetic foreshadow of the Ptolemy, Cassander, Lysimus, and Seleucid divisions, which is basically in the Middle East area and in the Egypt area as well, North Africa. So that's four of the kings. So we have four of the kings coming out of Turkey, how it breaks up. Then we have three of the kings in North Africa, Egypt, Libya, and Sudan. So there's seven of the 10 kings. And we'll just have to wait and see where the other three are, but we can be assured that they're going to occur within that conglomerate land area because that's what the Apostle John said, that it's a lion, a leopard, and a bear. You know, I can't overstate that enough and emphasize that enough because it's very important to understand where to watch. You know, where to watch, and it says those three animals, those three beasts is what the Antichrist kingdom is going to be. So we can have comfort and confidence that they are going to occur in that conglomerate land area, you know, for whenever that rises to power. One thing to always remember, just like we've discussed in Daniel 7, that the Antichrist kingdom, if you will, the beast kingdom, the 10 kings will be in place before he rises to power, okay? And whenever we look at the Middle East today, we can kind of see it starting to shift, you know, very slowly, but at the same time, we can start seeing the, all the revolutions that have occurred in Libya, Egypt, and Sudan. I mean, it's a nightmare in those three countries. If you keep up with the Arab Spring and things like that with Gaddafi and all the Egyptian presidents and everything, the Sudan's been a civil war for decades. So I believe they're ripe, if you will, for the Antichrist his taking, but like I said, it's a slow process and we're not there yet, you know, but I believe it's starting to shift. We're starting to see the 10 kings kind of shift. I'm not saying they're there yet. I don't believe they're there yet, but I believe the countries are kind of being ripened up for that moment for that, and you're starting to see Turkey come into power. So eventually, again, once they reach their prophetic calling, they will break into four regions and that's that's some time away. But at the same time, just to give you an idea, you're starting to see it shift according to what the prophets are telling us in the scriptures. So that is where we're coming from with the 10 kings. They're in that conglomerate area. You can go online. There's all kind of interesting things with the Club of Rome. You know, you've got them all over the world. That is inaccurate, according to John in Revelation 13. He says there's three beasts that the Antichrist kingdom will be, and those 10 kings will be in that area. So, and again, the 10 kings will be in place, and then Daniel 7 tells us that the Antichrist will come up after them. So once the 10 kings are in place, then the Antichrist comes, and he conquers the three that we just mentioned with Egypt, Libya, and Sudan. Okay, so now let's turn to Revelation 17. In Revelation 17, most people call this Mystery Babylon chapter because it speaks of the harlot, okay, the great whore of Babylon. Okay, we're going to kind of hit a little bit on that tonight, but that's next week's subject. And it has a lot of debate. You know, a lot of people believe it's America or Rome or, you know, Jerusalem. You know, there's all ancient Babylon. So there's a lot of theories out there. I believe when we look at the text and look at the prerequisites of what it, John says that it has to be, so to speak, I believe it will bring us clarity. And also the prophet Isaiah tells us, I believe, exactly who this is. So that's for next week. But we'll kind of hit on a little bit of these things with the harlot because it ties in together. Revelation 17, it speaks of a beast and a woman that's riding the beast. So that tells us that they're in cahoots together, okay? They're together as a conglomerate, and then we'll kind of see how they end up at the end of the age. But in the beginning, they are together. She's riding the beast, okay? But they're two separate entities, okay? Whoever people believe the Antichrist kingdom will be cannot be the harlot, okay, because they're two different entities. But they're together at the beginning, and then we'll see what happens as we read the passage. So we're going to skip some verses in Revelation 17 because, again, it goes into next week, and it really doesn't have any effect on our subject matter tonight. So we'll begin with Revelation 17:3. And again, he's talking about, again, there's a beast and there's a woman riding on it. The woman's the harlot. The beast, which we just found out, is the Antichrist kingdom. Okay, so we've got the Antichrist kingdom as the beast, and then we've got the woman who is the harlot of Babylon, and she's riding the beast. So we'll pick up in Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, which is desert. Okay, that is, in the English, that's an inaccurate translation. It's desert is where John was carried to. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. So here we go again. We're seeing this beast, the same one as Revelation 13, the same one as Daniel 7's fourth beast. It's the same beast, the Antichrist kingdom, with the seven heads and ten horns. Again, they match. Revelation 13, Revelation 17, they match. So that's very important to understand, is they match perfectly. We're talking about the same beast that was in Revelation 13, and we'll see how they all tie in together here in a minute, Revelation 13 and 17. Let's go to verse 7. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns." There we go again, confirming it. Okay, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So John gives us kind of a riddle, if you will, to figure out. And what we're going to do, since we understand who the beast is, now again, if we can remember, Daniel 7's fourth beast is the last beast of the four. And check this out. So he says the beast which you saw, it was. So again, John's living in the Roman Empire. So guess what happened before him? Those three kingdoms have already came and gone, right? They were. So that's what John is saying. John's like, the beast that was, which is Babylon, Persia, and Grecian Empire, those three kingdoms, which makes up the conglomerate beast, right? Okay, so Babylon, Persia, and Grecian, the beast, it was, they were in power, but they are not now, is what he's saying. They are not now, and yet is, meaning that they're going to come back again. The beast is going to come back again. Okay, so I hope that makes sense. As he's talking about the same beast because of the 10 horns and the 7 heads, it's Revelation 13, which is the same as Daniel 7's fourth beast. And he said, hey, the beast that was, it's not now because they've all been conquered, but they're going to come back again in the future. And then we hit on verse 9, and he gives us another riddle, which we're about to understand as well. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. There are also 7 kings. Okay, again, so he's telling us the 7 heads are 7 kings. Well, kings do not rule over mountains. Kings rule over kingdoms. So he's telling us there's going to be 7 kingdoms that rises to power. And this is what he says as we continue. 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other has not yet come. Okay, so John lived in the Roman Empire, which is the 6th kingdom throughout history. Well, if we count back 5, then what, from the beginning of the age, we have the Egyptian Empire, number 1, the Assyrian Empire, number 2, the 3rd one is Babylon, the 4th one is Medo-Persia, the 5th is Grecian or Turkey, and the 6th is the Roman Empire. They're in sequence. You can go to the history books, and it'll show you in sequence the major kingdoms of that area that John is talking about rose to power in that exact order. So you've got the Egyptian, the Assyrian, the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and now you've got the Roman where John was living in. So there's 6 kingdoms, and that's why he wrote it like he wrote it. He says, 5 have fallen. Okay, so the Egyptian, the Assyrian, the Babylonian, the Persian, the Grecian, they've all fallen because I'm living in the Roman Empire, you know, right now. And that's why he says, 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other has not yet come. So that 7th kingdom has not yet come when John was alive in the Roman Empire. And then check this out. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time, meaning the kingdom's going to continue for a short time and be conquered. And then let's go to verse 11. And then he says, the beast that was, again, the Babylonian, the Persian, and the Grecian Empire, the beast that was is no longer in reign and is not, which we just said, is himself also the 8th. And is of the 7th and is going to perdition. Okay, so it's given us an insight of, okay, the beast that was, which is the 3 kingdoms we just mentioned, the 3 beasts, the lion, the leopard, the bear, was, but it is not now because they've been conquered, but it's going to come back again. Well, that's what we've discussed last week. I mean, we've seen Iraq come to power with Saddam Hussein. We're seeing Iran come to power with the Ayatollahs. We're seeing Erdogan in Turkey rising to power, Greece, Yvonne, rising to power right now, and those 3 make up the Antichrist kingdom, is what John's saying. Okay, so now let's figure out the riddle that he's telling us. He's saying that the 7th kingdom who's coming is also the 8th and is going to perdition. A lot of people believe there is going to be a revived Roman Empire when it comes back. That's why a lot of people you know, they put the Roman, and my question is why would John say it's going to be the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th? You know, that just doesn't make any sense as a riddle, common sense. We've already discussed in previous broadcasts that the Roman Empire is not included anywhere in these prophecies. You know, Daniel 8, Daniel 7, Daniel 2, you name it, Ezekiel 38, 39, wherever you want to turn, it's all about the Middle East and North Africa as the primary regions, okay? Not saying that anyone else is not going to be involved on a secondary level, including America, but the primary players are the ones that the prophet spoke about, those regions that are surrounding the promised land of Israel. Okay, so let's figure out this riddle because he says, the beast that was is not, and is himself also the 8th, and is of the 7th, and going to perdition. So if we find out who the 7th kingdom is, then we understand who the 8th kingdom is going to be, okay, because the 7th and the 8th are the same kingdoms. So let's talk a little bit of history real quick. Once the Roman Empire reached its climatic pinnacle, in about AD 395, the Eastern Division was really the only one that was really operating at the time. So what happened? Well, in approximately AD 395, the Roman Empire was divided into two divisions, the Eastern and Western Division. It has two legs. That's why most people think Daniel 2 is speaking of this, but it is not. Okay, in 410, the Western Division, including the capital of Rome, it fell to Germanic tribes known as the Visigoths. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, or the Barbarians is more appropriate for that. And although the Western Division fell, the Eastern Division still continued to reign from Constantinople. Okay, that's where it was, which is in is basically Istanbul, Turkey right now is what it's called. Okay, and then it became known as the Byzantine Empire. Okay, so that's the kind of the history is when the Roman Empire fell, it went through these changes, it wound up as the Byzantine Empire. Okay, and it survived for like another, I would say, 1,000 years, so to speak, approximately. In 1453, the Eastern Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, if you will, it completely fell to the next empire, which is the Ottoman Empire. You can search that in the history books. The Ottoman Empire was the next major empire that came after the Roman Empire. I believe all scholars will agree with that. So the Ottoman Empire is the seventh empire. When we think of the Ottoman Empire, obviously that's Turkey. Most people, that's Turkey. Well, the Grecian Empire and the Ottoman Empire are the same thing. They're interchangeable, okay? If you look at a map, an ancient map of these two empires, they controlled the same land area, okay, in their kingdom. So whenever someone says Grecian or Ottoman, they're the same. Basically think of Turkey each time because that's where the main, if you will, the main landmass was in Turkey, the home base, if you will. So whenever we think of Turkey or, I'm sorry, Ottoman or Grecian, think of Turkey. So once we know now that it's the seventh head, the seventh kingdom, the Ottoman Empire, now we know that it's going to come back again as the eighth. Okay, now let's go to the text in Revelation 13. Let's go back to Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of the heads, I saw one of the kingdoms, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. Okay, that's paramount. Okay, when was the Ottoman Empire wounded? The Ottoman Empire continued after it conquered the Roman Empire. It continued for another 500 years. You know, it controlled Jerusalem. You can look at a map. I mean, it was vast in size. It was huge. Okay, so they continued after that victory in Constantinople. They continued for another 500 years. Well, in 1923, the Ottoman Empire fell. The Ottoman Empire was wounded, if you will. Okay, and then they became a secular nation under Mustafa Kemal Ataturk for the next several years until Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the president, the current president right now. Well, if you keep up and you can look online at this, all that's mentioning out of Erdogan's mouth at this moment, I put a lot of this in the book, is the revived Ottoman Empire. I mean, he literally says that several times. The newspaper outlets say that. We're back. We're going to be born again, if you will. You know, all of this rhetoric of the revived Ottoman Empire back to dominance. That is his goal. And actually, it says this in the book, and we went over this in our last broadcast, that his goal is for 2023 to have the revived Ottoman Empire back in control. That's his goal, and he has stated that numerous times. And that landmass includes Iraq, Syria, and other areas which basically Iran controls. So we have to put all of this together that basically Iran and Turkey is going to go at it in Daniel 8, a major war because of real estate, because of Iraq, because of Syria, because that is the Ottoman Empire's old, Grecian Empire's old territory, Turkey's old territory. So it comes down to good old-fashioned real estate, okay, of what's going on. So we're starting to see all of these prophecies collide together, and I hope you're with me, that the head, the kingdom that was wounded was the Ottoman Empire. From 1453 they ruled to 1923. They were wounded. And now when you do your research, when we look at Turkey and the rhetoric that's coming out of there, what they're doing with their armies. They've invaded Syria. They're coming into Iraq, into the Mosul area and everything. They are coming to revive that Ottoman Empire, that Grecian Empire, Turkey, if you will. So it's very important to understand that we're seeing the wound being healed in Revelation 13, just like the prophet said. So it's, in my opinion, the Ottoman Empire is the clear revived one. Rome's not revived. Okay, it won't be revived. Actually, I can make the case that Europe is being conquered by Islam. Actually, when you look at it responsibly, you can make that case that Europe is being conquered by Islam with what's going on in the last couple of years. So it's, in my opinion, that John is telling us the beast. And what's so amazing is this as well, is we've talked about the beast, the lion, the leopard, the bear, the Iraq, Iran, and Turkey. Well, what does the Grecian Empire, what does the Ottoman Empire control? They control that same land area. So he's telling us exactly who these players are and the landmass that the Ottoman Empire is going to control. That's why it says the beast that was is not, and it's coming back again. You know, it was wounded in 1923, and now it's coming back. Whenever you do your research on Recep Tayyip Erdogan, you can see the rhetoric that he's saying and also the newspaper clippings and all the mouthpieces, if you will, in Turkey, the government. They're coming on strong. You know, I don't know when that's going to be, but we can. All we have to do is just watch. Like I tell people, Turkey is the main player in the Bible in the end of the age as the bad guy. Okay, the bad guy is Turkey. You go anywhere in the scriptures, Ezekiel 38:39, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Revelation, Daniel. It all ends with Turkey. You know, and just like we discovered, the Antichrist will rise from that Seleucid division of Turkey, Iraq, Syria. Again, you've got to go to the ancient maps. So I hope that makes sense with the Ottoman Empire. Okay, so now let's go to verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which we've discovered, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Okay, again, we've discussed that. The 10 kings will be in place, and they will give their allegiance, you know, to the Antichrist once he rises to power. And then how do they do this? Again, we've talked about it in the past, that there's Sunni and Shia. That's the two major sects, okay? And you can think of it like this. Shia is Iran. Sunni is Turkey, okay? And why I just use those two countries is because the war in Daniel 8 is between those two, and it's basically going to put the Sunni sect as the dominant one over the Shia. Remember in Daniel 2, it says there's going to be strong, there's going to be iron, and there's going to be clay, there's going to be strong and weak. Okay, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about Sunni strong, Shia weak, but they're going to come together, just like the prophet says right here in verse 13. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So he's telling us, you know, that it's going to be, they're going to come together. They might have their differences, but they ultimately agree with one thing, the destruction of Israel, okay? Rome doesn't want to destroy Israel. Islam wants to destroy Israel, okay? Iran wants to destroy Israel. Read the clippings of Erdogan in Turkey. They want to destroy Israel. They all can agree on that. They might have their different differences, but they will all agree with death to Israel, and they will come against Israel and ultimately the Messiah. So that's very important to understand. They will come together. They will put their differences to the side. Once Turkey conquer or smashes, makes war against Iran, they will become the dominant. Iran will become underneath them. So with all the other ones, and then we're off to the races, just like Daniel 8 will detail out in the basically the roadmap to the end of the age. So let's pick up on verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people's. Okay, we'll get to that next week. That talks about the harlot, the woman, and we'll discover more about her next week. And then in verse 16, and the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, These will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So we're getting into a little bit next week. Basically, just like we saw in the beginning of Revelation 17, the woman is riding the beast. At the beginning of their relationship, they're together. Okay, they're doing business together, if you will. But at the end of the age, at the end, the Antichrist kingdom, the beast, will turn against the harlot. And it, just like it says, it will burn her with fire, you know, and destroy her. We will discuss that next week, who destroys her. It says it in the prophet Isaiah. He tells us exactly who destroys this, whoever this is. I don't want to give it away, but it's a very interesting entity, and you would think they would be together, but actually, just like the prophet said, they come against the harlot at the end of the age. And what, like I said, it's going to be a great lesson, because it's a lot of people look at the harlot as America, Rome, things like that. Actually, we'll look at it in a more clear view, in an Eastern lens, and it will point to one obvious country, and I'll tell you, in the Middle East, North Africa area. It'll be very clear. So it's very important to understand that there's two different entities, but at the beginning they're together, and then at the end the Antichrist kingdom will destroy the beast. So Revelation 17 is another prophecy that basically confirms the positions that we've discussed so far. Like we've discovered, like I've mentioned throughout this process, we can turn anywhere with what we've discussed, and it all fits together smoothly. Okay, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Ezekiel 38, 39, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, you name it, what we're talking about, what we've discussed, it fits perfectly. It fits like a glove. It's smooth. We don't have to fit a circle into a square, because it talks about the same people over and over. And once we know the first three kingdoms, which is Babylon, Persia, Greece, okay, which is Turkey, okay, we know the symbolism of each, and then we know that fourth kingdom is a conglomerate of the first three kingdoms. All we have to do is turn to Revelation and just plug in the names. And we understand where we need to be watching, what we need to be looking out for in the geopolitical arena over in that area. We can understand when we see these events coming, just like we saw the first kingdom fall. We're seeing Iran, the second kingdom, come into great power, just like Daniel 8 says. And then we're seeing the third kingdom, Erdogan, rise to power. Like I've told people multiple times, I wouldn't have written the book the way I've written it if I could not see the third kingdom. The third kingdom was key for me to be like, okay, we're actually seeing this really come down the pipeline, if you will, on God's prophetic timeline. Okay, so once we start doing our research on Turkey, on the AKP party, on Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and we see the rhetoric and things that are coming out, we're seeing the power of Turkey rising tremendously. We're seeing how Israel and how America is building up Turkey to eventually go against Iran. What I've said before, I don't know if I've said on this program, but I've told before, what is amazing to me is the second kingdom, which is Iran. The previous president's administration, the Obama administration, built up Iran. Okay, I think anyone who's paid attention, building up Iran. Now we have this new administration, the Trump administration, building up Turkey, which is totally amazing to me, because it's the second and the third kingdom in the prophets. No matter which political side you're on here, that's irrelevant. What I'm saying is it's amazing how we are now supporting Turkey, and we really have all Israel hates Iran for good measures, and also America with the new administration doesn't want to have anything to do with Iran, and that wasn't the case before. So to me, that is very telling of what could occur under this president's administration, however long it will be, okay, 4 or 8 years, and it's just something we have to pay attention to and watch. But it's happening right before our eyes, my friends. All we have to do is understand what the prophets are saying, and then we look at the Middle East and North Africa areas and see if it matches. And frankly, it matches absolutely perfectly with what's going on with the current events of today. So that's the main thing to get out of it, because next week we'll get into the mystery Babylon, the harlot, and identify her. And we won't really get into the Antichrist kingdom and the prophets of Daniel, so to speak, the kingdoms, because we've discussed that for the last 6 weeks, okay, after the 48 and 67 prophecy. So this is, I appreciate you guys listening, because it's been 4 or 5 weeks worth of the kind of the same material, because it keeps repeating once we know the kingdoms, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, and now we finished up with Revelation 13 and 17, and then we'll hit on the harlot, the great harlot, next week and understand exactly who that is and the whole picture of who the harlot is, the Antichrist kingdom, and now we know the four kingdoms that will rise to power, and we can actually see those come to fruition. And the others that, you know, unfortunately that I debate with, like I tell them, I can't see what you're saying going on in the Middle East, because everybody agrees that we're living at the end of the age. And again, I want to make that clear, the end of the age. A lot of people say the end of the world. That's not accurate. It's the end of the age before the Messiah comes to set up the thousand-year reign. So people, we really need to kind of identify that in the right terminology, that he is coming at the end of the age for another 1,000 years on earth to live in the glorious millennial kingdom. So most prophecy students, prophecy teachers, believe we're living at the end of the age. And like I asked them, I can't see what some people are saying, not, you know, not condemning them, not being rude to them at all, but loving them. But what we're talking about, we can actually see coming to fruition. Like I told someone one time, that sometimes, you know, I couldn't even write the 2 books that I've written because things were happening so quick you couldn't keep up with it, you know, because that's the way it is. It's going to start happening so quick that we can't really hardly keep up with it because all of the different prophecies. But the main thing out of all of the prophecies that we've discovered so far is to really understand Daniel 8, okay, because it fulfills Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, and it will actually lead you to the very end of the age, because it's that much detail. And right now we're in Daniel 8:4, and all we have to do is just continue to watch it. So I hope this makes sense. I hope it calculates what we've been discussing thus far. I hope if you have any questions, you can go back and listen to the broadcast, to listen to them again and go through, meditate, pray about it, ask the Lord to lead you, and if it's good, run to it. If it doesn't, then do not run to it. But it is amazing what we're seeing, and I appreciate you guys listening over the last several weeks, and hopefully you'll join us in the weeks to come.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to say I'm listening, and I want those that have called in, or if you are streaming online, you can turn the volume down on your computer and you can dial 929-477-2442 and press 1, and I'll open your mic and you can speak with Chadwick. You can ask him questions. You can share your thoughts on tonight's broadcast or one of the other broadcasts up until this week, up until today. And next week is week 8. I'm excited about this because I was just discussing with Chadwick before the broadcast started about where ISIS performed a terrorist attack on the Sunni Muslims. And, you know, they don't even like their own people. They're divided, and ISIS is attacking them because of their different beliefs. When I was in Israel and I heard about that, I just immediately thought about what Chadwick Harvey has been saying on the broadcast. So we just thank God. I don't see anybody on my part on over here on the computer that has pressed 1 to ask a question. If you want to ask a question or speak with Chadwick, you can dial 929-477-2442 and press 1. and share your feeling, whether you like what he's saying, whether you don't. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the Word of God, nothing but the Word. And the prophetic Word is what we're talking about, and the prophetic part of the Word, and prophecy from God's Word coming to pass. Whatever he speaks, it will happen. Whatever he says in his Word, it will happen. Whatever he speaks by visions and dreams, it will happen. And this is what this broadcast is about. Revealing to the listeners what God says, what he says in his word, what he says in other languages, his ways of communicating with us, what he wants to tell us as individuals, as the body of Christ. If he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through a human being. Mm-hmm. And so even he'll speak to an unbeliever. There are so many saved, hidden Arabs in Israel. They're hiding because of persecution. Muslims that Jesus has appeared to, that they've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they're hiding because of persecution. So God is speaking today. He speaks to us however he knows that we're going to understand him. And we don't try to understand what God says to somebody else. We try to understand what God says to us. I'm understanding what God is saying to me. And God gives us authors and teachers and anointed people of God to minister to us, to give us a better understanding of what the God's prophetic timeline is during our time that we are blessed to be living, breathing the breath of God. So we just give God all the glory, honor, and praise tonight. I thank you, my brother in Christ, Chadwick. I really appreciate you. I thank you for participating in Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. I'm honored and humbled to have you on the broadcast every week. And so we're looking forward to week 8. Give us your website and give us the topic of week 8.
Yes, my website is faithfulperformance.com. And again, I appreciate you having me on. It's a pleasure. It's a blessing to be with you every week. We're kindred spirits, and I really appreciate your enthusiasm, your excitement for the Lord and also his prophecies. Next week, we'll hit on Mystery Babylon, the Great Harlot. We'll go back into Revelation 17 and also Revelation 18. So we went through a little bit of Revelation 17 because, again, the harlot and the Antichrist kingdom are together at first, and then we see what happens at the end. The Antichrist kingdom will turn on it. It's very important to understand who the harlot is. It's only a mystery to those who are not going to read the biblical prophets, who don't understand what the biblical prophets have said about who the mystery is. So it's kind of mislabeled, if you will. It's a mystery only to those who are not reading the biblical prophets, and then you start getting into all of this, who this is, Rome, America, this, that, and the other. Once we read the prophecy, because what's so important is this, there's people who are proclaiming that this is America, and I will tell people right now, it is not America. Okay, I won't tell you who it is, but till next week. But people are proclaiming that it is America, and what the prophecy says for her people to come out of her. So actually, you've got some teachers that are telling the Americans to leave America because what happens to Mystery Babylon, which we saw, is burned with fire and things like that. So it's a very serious prophecy to understand because of the ramifications that some people are going to with proclaiming that the Americans need to leave. You know, so we're going to go through that. We'll talk about a lot about America next week because I think it's very important to understand that it is not America. You know, I'll tell you this is, the prophet Isaiah says the end will be like the beginning, and from ancient times not yet known. America's only been a nation for a couple hundred years, okay? So we weren't in the beginning. So when everybody puts America as the Antichrist kingdom or the harlot or whatever you want to call it, it's really nonsense because it's just a lack of understanding of the prophets to not to be ugly, but just that's what it is. And it's very serious because of the ramifications of what some of these prophecies tell us, like Revelation 18, for my people to come out of her. You know, so America has been overall a shining light for the gospel. You know, we have to always remember that. Obviously, we've got our issues, you know, with a lot of different things, and we'll discuss next week. But we are not the harlot of Babylon. You know, it is an ancient people that have always hated the children of Israel, just like most, just like the Antichrist kingdom is. It is as well. So it's a very important topic to go through to understand, because you've actually got people who are leaving the country because of some teachers believe that it's America who is Mystery Babylon and things like that. So there's a couple of prerequisites that I'll go through to go ahead and debunk that if we have a little bit of time. Is number one, it says she sits in the desert, just like we read tonight in Revelation 17:3. America does not sit in the desert, and actually it's a city. You know, it's a mega city. So most people believe it's New York. Well, New York does not sit in a desert. So that one prerequisite itself discounts America, okay, and really the country, America in general. You know, also it says it has the blood of the saints, you know, in, you know, the guilty of shedding the blood of the saints. America does not persecute the Christians in that kind of way. Some people use the abortion thing with the 60 million children. You know, of course, that's absolutely horrible, and America will be judged for that. However, it is not the blood of the saints, as we will look into next week. So we have to really understand the prerequisites of Revelation 17 and 18, and then we have to say, okay, does America fit this? Does Rome fit this? Does ancient Babylon fit this? Or does another kingdom fit this that we'll discover next week? And also what the prophet Isaiah said about this particular region of the Middle East. It tells us, he literally tells us, just like we've discovered in Daniel, Linda, Daniel tells us exactly who these kingdoms are, Babylon, Persia, Greece. He tells us exactly who they are. Same way with this. You know, the Lord didn't leave it up to any human being, except through his prophets, of course, to identify who Mystery Babylon is, who the Antichrist kingdom is, and things like that. So I just think it's very important. Not a lot of people understand the ramifications of declaring who Mystery Babylon is, because, you know, like I said, it tells the people, his people, to come out, you know, basically the believers in that particular region to come out of her, because she's about to be destroyed. So the ramifications and the fallout's very important. And personally, I just think it's very responsible to go through this in a biblical way, in a prophetic way, in the prophets, and discover who actually this is. And once we go through it, I pray that it totally makes sense.
Well, praise God. We got a little added touch tonight. So we just bless God tonight. I appreciate you, Chadwick. I am grateful to God to be able to have this opportunity to just sow into your life by having you on Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. I'm going to put the link out there tomorrow on social media, telling everyone that if you missed tonight's broadcast, click on this link and get your blessing. So we just honor God tonight, fully honor God by his word and from his manservant, and we just lift you up, Lord, and continue to honor you. And so Gatekeepers Ministry International will be on next Thursday. Oh, by the way, December 4th, which is Monday. Boy, December got here really fast. I'm having a special broadcast, 2 hours, just with the prophets, and the topic is the fear of the Lord. Personally, the Lord put this in my spirit, because the body of Christ is lacking the fear of the Lord. And so he placed some prophets on my heart, and I put it out there to them. And Pastor Prophet Bill Jenkins, that has been on the broadcast many times, said he just preached that in his church. He said, yes, I would love to minister that on your broadcast. And I got a yes from some other prophets. So Monday night at 7 o'clock, the topic is fear of the Lord, and we will open up at the end of the broadcast for questions where you could speak with the Prophet Jacinta Calhoun, Apostle Prophet Pastor Jermaine Johnson, and Prophet Pastor Bill Jenkins. So tune in on Monday, December 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Thursday, again, week 8, a very prophetic, God's prophetic timeline, Messiah's Final Warning, with author, teacher, Chadwick Harvey. So we bless you tonight. We're grateful and honored to have you on the broadcast tonight. And we're going to close out with the shofar. Be blessed. Have a good night. Make it a dream night, a God dream night. Missionary Linda Kazris saying, I love you and good night.